Fabio, we only need $800 to get there. You're over 10 800. Now. We're looking for 11,000. How much time we got? I don't have the clock.
We have under 7 minutes.
But we need $800.
Yeah.
Who's the heroes out there? Keep your pledges coming. We got our phones going. This
six and a half minutes.
So exciting,
yeah,
Fabio.
We have to give away.
Oh, it's going up again. It's
we
dropping.
Have to give away the Sun Ra right now.
770.
Give it away.
770. Give it away. Give it away.
Give it away.
All right, here we go.
Sun Ra going out. Double vinyl.
And the winner is...
Yes.
Peter S. in Brooklyn.
Peter S. in Brooklyn.
Yeah,
thank
yeah.
you. You're and congratulations for that.
And I'm writing this number down.
That.
The Sun Ra, right?
Yes, Sun Ra. That's
20358.
Correct.
No, all that's right. wrong, isn't it? Isn't
yeah,
it?
No, that's correct.
Well, that's what mine says.
Okay, so you're good.
So I was right all along?
Well, no, you're missing the ones on the other things and a two on the water damage.
Dude, okay.
You'll fix it afterwards.
I will.
All right, listen, we've got just under, we got a little over 5 minutes left. We're going to give away the Criterion Collection 4K Blu-ray combo
Spinette
DVD
Kelly.
Of... Performance.
Which,
performance.
Right, right.
Performance.
Ronnie Wood.
Performance.
Mike Newsom from Newport, Virginia. It's great to hear the TNP getting back together.
You can still pledge for performance. Coming
Freeport
up.
Forever.
We got
dude, we're like
5 minutes.
770
5 minutes,
to go.
770.
Come on, let's do it. Flash.
Two
flash,
House of flash, Today pledges flash, will flash. Do it. Two House of Today.
We can
Mouse
do it,
of
Bob.
Today.
We can do it. Mandel will give you a couple.
Secret Society pledge. We could take that. Or a Y3K pledge will wipe out the whole thing.
Oh, man.
A Y3K, that's 1,000, right?
800, 989.
Or $83 a month. Anybody who drives like
Bobby,
a Tesla.
Let me help you. Let me help you.
You're going to help me.
800-989-9368 or WFMU.org. 10,230, looking for 11 grand. We're almost out of time.
We're trying to penetrate this number.
You got great listeners and listeners, man. They love you. They've been generous to you today. Father.
5 minutes. We have less than 5 minutes now. That was Ziggy and the Stooges.
Play a real winner, Bob. Play something. Play
penetrate,
something.
Which I just did.
Play some Blue Oyster or something. Take it home.
Here we go.
What is this, man?
This is
Bob Crew generation?
No. This is Buddy Morrow.
The phone's ringing. This
Buddy
could be
Morrow.
The big one, Elizabeth. It's the big one. 800-989-9368 or WFMU.org. Jeff Moore's in here taking pictures. How you doing, man? All right. We're so close. So close. Please pledge, you guys. 770, that's all we need. We got somebody on the phone. 800-989-9368 or WFMU.org. Do it for Fabio. Do it for the love of the man. Do it for strength through failure. The legend, Fabio, dude.
Legend in his own mind.
No, you're not. You're the real deal, man. I want to be you.
We've got 3 minutes and a few seconds. So this is it. The last push here. We're going to give away in 2 minutes. 2 minutes, we're going to give away the performance DVD set. 2 minutes. You still have a chance. 1-800-989-9368 is the number to call. Do it now if you're interested in that. And by the way, if we don't get another chance, thanks, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming out.
Thanks to our volunteers.
Getting no sleep and
James
doing
Sienna,
my show.
The Dumpling Crew down in the kitchen. James Sienna, also
Sally,
Mike Ballou, Sally, Rob, and Wendy. In here, such great volunteers. I hope
yes.
I didn't leave anybody's name out. But these,
the
these
Dumpling Crew, that was great.
You. They stood with you. The Apple Dumpling Gang. Tim Conway.
What?
Dorf.
What?
Shakiest gun in the West.
You're just like off.
Reluctant
into another,
astronaut.
You're somewhere else, man.
Dude.
So,
Luther.
2 minutes. 2 minutes. Anybody else to thank?
We got somebody on the phone. It could be the big one,
you
Bob.
You should start. Pulling a name for the DVD
set. Oh, dude, we want to thank Matthew D. in Paris, France with
no.
a pledge for you.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
in
yeah.
Paris. We love Paris.
He helped me pull you out of the gutter.
Oh.
He remembers I gave him a card.
What?
Listen to this guy's show. He plays Serge Gainsburger. Okay, that's it, man. We're almost out of time. You guys, thank everybody.
You got to draw for
Tom,
the DVD.
You made over...
The DVD.
Oh, yeah, that thing. Okay.
Yeah, the DVD. You got to give that away. Who won the Sun Ra? Hey, who won the Sun Ra again?
I don't know. We announced it, didn't we? Yeah, we announced it.
I know you announced it, but I just want to double check.
The winner of the...
The DVD
the
performance.
Performance is Jeremy L. in Denville, New Jersey.
Jeremy!
Yeah,
congratulations.
Jeremy. All right. Way to go, Jeremy.
We've got 1 minute left. I want to thank everybody in the phone room. I want to thank you, Clay Pigeon. Thank all of the listeners who have pledged today. You are going to be on tomorrow morning to do your regular show.
Right, and then I'm on Help after that with Johnny Allen. We'll be talking about
yeah.
you, Bob. And we got one on the line here,
okay,
Bob.
One last one. I got to get off really soon because Miracle Nutrition is coming up shortly.
Wait.
This is Freeform Radio, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. The 2026
Bobbio.
Fundraising
Bobbio.
Marathon. What?
You did it!
No.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah!
Wow.
Yeah! Yeah!
Me.
And
wow.
we can thank Julie N. in Gardner, New York, for taking you over the top. Bob.
Holy cow.
Yeah, man,
well,
you
it
did
doesn't
it.
Doesn't show here yet, but okay, thank you.
I don't know how to enter that in, but we're going to figure it
okay.
out.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, thanks. I got to make room for Miracle Nutrition. See you later. Stay tuned for that.
Okay,
this is
man.
WFMU. Thanks, man.
Love you,
all
Bob.
All right. Bye.
I am. I'm on the radio right now. Mork to Orson. Mork to Orson. Nanu Nanu. Can you hear me? I'm not hearing anyone. I hear myself.
I hear you, Hardy.
Hi,
White.
Can you hear me?
Hello. I'm hearing
Dave
a lot
Mandel?
Of
hello, Hardy.
Hey, Dave Mandel. How are you?
It's chaos here in the phone room. I'm good. Good to be here.
Oh, it's great to be here.
How you doing?
I am talking to you from Lexington, Kentucky. And so this is what a miracle of technology
uh-huh.
is. Because we sound like we're in the same room.
Well, don't jinx it.
Oh, no, no. Well, I mean, things can happen when you're in the same room. Like one of us could stroke out. And then you go, it's
you know,
just like a technical
that's
failure.
That's more likely than you know, Hardy.
Oh, with every day that passes. Oh, my goodness. We skew towards the experience side here at WFMU. Oh, I love to be with you, my friends. This is a very special time of the year for us and for me because I get to speak about something I really love, which is this radio station. And it's really hard to sort of love any institution and not be betrayed and burned by it. And I guess there's just a little wonderful betrayal in WFMU. Every once in a while you go, what is that song? I feel like I'm being abused. And you go, yes, but it's also a beautiful relationship where a lot of times WFMU will say, I'm sorry. Here's a song you know. And I think that's a lovely thing. So we all need that. We all need something like WFMU, which is the Thai food, really, of radio, where you have all sorts of flavors coming together, including very pungent, fishy smell. And I don't know what that is. That's a lot of genres. Will give you what they call an umami sound. And you go, I don't know if I like that, but it's part of nature. And there's a while we're on the subject of Japanese aesthetics, is there nothing more wabi-sabi than WFMU itself?
I can't think of anything.
The building itself, it has a patina of more patina. I don't even know what's under that. You'd have to scrape away that patina to get to the other layers. There's probably one of lead and asbestos, and then memories, and then there's another patina of like, oh, it's the way it was in the 80s or something. I don't even know, but and there's a lot of posters and music lore. But what FMU is really about, Dave, if indeed you are still there.
I'm riveted, yeah.
I know, I'm sorry. I'm not really what you call a conversationalist as much as
monologuist. Monologuist.
I put the mono in there. And like the disease that it's named after.
Can I put the log in there?
It's debilitating. Yeah, throw that log in there.
All right.
And throw another log. And we're going to burn. We're going to burn this baby. We're going to get some heat going on the radio. What FMU is really about to me is the relationships. And I say that both as a setup for a joke and also sincerely, because I really do believe that it's a great way to connect with other human beings. It is not, it's not phony. And there's not much in entertainment or media, anything that isn't like unbearably phony. Have you ever been on like radio, like public radio, like snooty people?
No, no. I was on WBAI. You probably don't know what that means. It's like the like the lefty independent station here in New York. That's not like snooty public radio. No.
Well, I've never broadcast on snooty public, but I've done one of those like people from the community go on during their pledge drive. You know? Oh my! Well, you go on. You sit there with like a local realtor, and then you
what?
They have like a realtor, and you go, "This is so and so Jimmy Miller from Jimmy Miller Realty."
Oh, yeah,
and he's here because he loves car talk. And don't you, if you love car talk like Jimmy Miller does, that kind of thing.
Do they do that? I'm just like, yes, they do.
Oh, you beautiful virgin ears.
I'm a complete innocent. I never listened
Dave.
To public radio.
Oh, it's horrifying. Oh, it's the phoniness, not the. I mean, some of the stuff is like. I guess it's fine. It's not my cuppa, really. But, they don't do that. Like, I love to speak the way people speak on the radio, and there's nothing more annoying to me than a sort of affected kind of speech on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how. I guess. I mean, I know its origin, you know, but
yeah.
I'm not necessarily for it. And I love that about if we got any more down to earth, we'd be buried in it. I think we're right there at earth level, just salt of the earth, a salty folk we are, WFMU, and a beautiful, and it's a lot like family, where some of us, you think, God, are we really related? You know, but there's a reason.
Is there anything I can do about this? Yeah.
Yeah, like I'm, but it's wonderful because it's also like a narcissism of minor differences thing. And you go like, you know, that as much as I don't want to face it, that's also me over there. And I think that's a beautiful truth that helps you connect to other people better. If people gravitate towards sameness a lot, I want to be around people who are just like me. Well, I don't know. You know, do you, have you met you? You know, do you really want to be around other yous?
I'm trying to get away from me for a while.
Right, so you get around people who are a little different, you know, or they got something to teach you. And I'm all for that. I've been talking on the radio so long that, and if you don't want to, like, one thing I was worried about was causing harm. Not that I haven't taken the Hippocratic Oath. Right. But I mean, like, I'm for it. I'm not a doctor or anything, but I'm really for not like causing harm unnecessarily, especially for, you know, entertainment, especially for free. So I've always been, wanting to educate myself about how can I not hurt people more? If that makes any sense. How would I be? It's an awareness. I don't say it's a sensitivity, but it's also an awareness. And I don't feel burdened by it. And people help you out. They might say, you know, that hurts me. You got to be able to learn and grow. And the more you learn and grow is a wonderful way to demonstrate your love. And you demonstrate your love that way. And I've always thought that radio needed that. You know, when I started, there was a lot of hate on the radio, and a lot of people saying, just trying to outdo each other with outrage and getting people really harming them as a way of grabbing their attention. And I thought, Ed, I know that doesn't have to be. I've seen people when their hearts are large and swollen with warmth and love and joy and everything, and it's much better. And you know, they're
anger sells better, I think, than love and kindness and peace and quiet. You know,
it does. You know, it does initially. There's a kind of, you know, when you buy stuff yourself out of fear, you know, or you buy something that on an impulse like that,
mm-hmm.
It isn't. You usually regret it. You know, it isn't something that you say, oh gosh, I guess I must have been really afraid when I bought those three samurai swords. But I don't know what I thought I was going to do with them since I have two hands. But I've got the one on the wall in back of me could be intimidating as the person came at me. But so, you know, so, oh no, that's, you know, that was preying on my fear of vulnerability or something like that, or a certain kind of health shake or something like that. And but so I want to be something more satisfying, like maybe a little bit of an apple that you find and you go, is this the edible kind? And then you take a little bite and you go, it's okay, I guess so, like that. You know, I want there to be some doubt. I don't want to be obvious. You don't want to be completely sweet. Life is not completely sweet. You must be one of those real, those heirloom apples, you know, that tastes like an apple used to taste. isn't there a, I wish there was a fruit museum and you could go and taste like fruit from, you know, from your youth.
There must be, I mean, you know, there are still like dozens, hundreds of varieties of apples, but most supermarkets only sell a couple.
I know. Thank God, there are people that are nuts for the heirloom type and keep them going.
Yeah, there are places. I mean, here in New York, that's one thing I can say about New York. New York State is there's lots of farms and orchards upstate New York that have all kinds of apples, and you know you can't necessarily find them in your local supermarket, but some places sell them.
Well, what is that like, Dave? This having this variety of apples. Does that remind you of a certain radio station where you might have these heirloom variety apples that you find nowhere else? But where do they reside but at this wonderful orchard?
Yeah.
That we all, and it's a co-op, which is, I guess that's good.
Yeah.
Some of us are going to do more work. You know, a co-op, not everybody's working at the same level
yeah.
all the time. Enthusiasm comes and goes. Thank God we're a big group.
Yep.
And, but that keeps the apples coming, and oh, and it's certainly the most. I've been in sort of. Oh, I've never really been in commercial radio, so I don't know what it's like. But the listener here is absolutely equal, almost to the experience. Like it is a participatory thing, and. That is unlike a lot of things. That's why it's really a joy to talk about it with the listeners at this time of year.
I think the fact that we don't get paid actually means a lot. None of us get paid for doing these shows means a lot because we're doing it because we love to do it. I mean, if you're doing something because you're being paid for it, then there's always a chance that, well, you know. Would he still do it if he wasn't getting paid for it? But the answer is yes. In our case,
there's no money that doesn't have a string on it. You think you're taking that coin and putting it in your pocket, and that's it. But when things are done for money, the people paying have a say, and sometimes that say is so subtle that it's like some kind of weird mind control. Right? And you feel like this is, it's very much like, I'm reading Frankenstein again, and it's, not Frankenstein, Dracula.
Ah.
And it's very much like getting stuck in Dracula's castle, you know, because you're at first you're kind of stuck voluntarily. And I think that that's the way with, and commercial stuff, you kind of self-censor, you know what you should say and you shouldn't say, you know, and certainly that is just not in the picture here. And I'm so glad that I'm not paid, because then nobody is really, like, concerned with whether it's a thing that someone would pay for. And a lot of times when I'm asking money for the station, it's very obvious that what people are for is, even if they don't listen to Hardy White, they are very much for the idea of Hardy White. And I think that that goes for the other shows, too. It's that even if you don't listen to them, you really want them there.
Yeah.
For a bunch of reasons. One, you may come around and maybe something you like in the future. Or you want someone else to have that feeling of liberation or connection or having their mind freed or understanding that there's more out there. They can express themselves in many ways. Or what I liked to think about is witnessing the experience of others and being able to be to acknowledge their struggles, our shared loneliness, you know, how hard it is to be a human, how hard it is to exist in the world. And sometimes it's a wonderful anonymous way to do it. I can speak to you that there you don't, no one else has to hear us, and I can say, I see you, I've got nothing for you, I'm not selling you anything, I don't have any special miracle shakes, I don't want you to watch or take my other products, I'm just one human who's got this beautiful opportunity to say, I see you, I recognize you, let's spend some time together, and just celebrating this crazy, chaotic, messy experience of being alive. And we'll do that by exercising our imaginations and going where we are truly free and liberated. And while we may, in our physical lives, be imprisoned by either sickness or possibly even literally, you know, I've had many listeners who did not have their freedom and were listening from institutions. Mm. And for them, it is a beautiful lifeline. And it's a sort of freedom that we all share. And I don't think there's anything like it. And certainly in radio in general doesn't do that as much as it used to. But, oh, we do it here very much so.
Well, I always say, you know, we like to think of ourselves as a bunch of weirdos, lovingly. But I think FMU is normal. And, like, other radio stations out there, they're the weirdos, you know. I mean, this is sort of real life, real people, normal people. And if you're a regular listener to FMU and then you occasionally tune into one of these other stations, you realize how completely fake it is. I just don't understand how a lot of that stuff has any appeal to
No, you couldn't
normal,
be more right.
Normal
yeah,
human beings.
We call ourselves weirdos, but you're right. Everybody is just, you know, we skew well-adjusted, I think, a lot of people, you know. And everyone's got their problems and everybody's, but there's an honesty to people that pursue their passions and in a courageous way, because it does take courage to say, I like this thing, or, you know, I like prog rock or something like that.
Ooh.
So good for you, Dave, that you're have courage to say that, and I've said it in public and everything, and I'm like, hats off. God love you, bless you. You're not afraid what people will say or think of you.
Yep.
And it's
true. And then you find out, hey, there's a lot of people out there who are just like me. I thought I was a total weirdo, but maybe I'm not.
Right. No, not at all. It's just that it's hard to find those wonderful kindred spirits. And gosh, we do that. And I've had so many, just developed so many sort of friendships from the show and from the station. And you're absolutely right. It's a lovely little nest of normalcy in many ways, and sincerity, and that's a. I think that's a. Great. My mother's calling me because her glasses are ready. Pretty sure. I didn't anticipate that when I turned my ringer on.
Well, so, tell her she's got, you know, like another 42 minutes, I think, to wait.
We're not going to get them today anyway.
Okay, well, that's good.
They're lovely glasses.
I thought you were just going to walk and leave me here and go get your
No. She can wait. They make her look like Elaine Stritch, though. They're really nice. They're big. She's that age where she can rock the really large frames, and I think that's so cool. Occasionally I'll be, I think I can go bigger. And
I think people look better with glasses. I mean, maybe I'm biased. I've been wearing glasses since I was, like, you know, in the delivery room, but I think people look better with glasses on.
I think
I
do.
Crazy?
I think glasses are kind of cool. I've been wearing them since, I'm about middle age or something. I was like, hey, what's going on here? I think my eyes were going earlier, but I was just so lazy. I thought, that's not what it is. I just won't read this book.
Just wear them just in case. You know, in case if your eyes go bad, you'll be ready. You'll have the glasses there in position.
Yeah, yeah. You know. I started with those little reading glasses, and then you're all up to the bifocals and
you know,
pretty soon.
I'm gonna shift the topic slightly to Filthy Lucre here for a second, because we have a few people to thank, and we should probably remind listeners, I'm sure most of them know, that we're in the middle of our annual fundraising drive, our annual on-air fundraising drive, and we're trying to raise money. And during this hour, we're raising money for your show, well, for WFMU, but people who listen to and appreciate your show. This is their time to show it. This is their time to shine. And we have a couple people to thank, so let me do that. We have Fred from Brooklyn, who says,
"Thank you, Fred.
Hardy and Dave Mandel, a tag team for the ages. Aw, thanks. I didn't make that up. That's really on there. Thank you, Fred." And we have Mark from Seabright, New Jersey, also checking in.
Thank you, Mark.
In the last few minutes. Thank you. Mark T. That's as far as I'll, I can go.
Okay, that's a list of
first
two.
Letter of the last name. Want me to go to the second letter? No, it's T.
No, we're good.
At the first letter. That's the limit.
No, we're good. We're good, Mark T. So, thank you, and we're going to have lots more people I know calling in. They're just waiting for me to take a pause, Hardy, so we can call. And a lot of them have already I've already pledged too. I looked at the
many people have already pledged. Yeah, the two I just named are people who have pledged since we hit the airwaves here 15 minutes or so ago.
And also some people pledge other shows, and then they what I call Professor and Marianne. So they'll be like, you know, this is primarily for Clay, but also love all your rest of you. And then they can say, you know, throw you a few bucks to
that does,
symbolically.
That does happen, yeah.
Right, so I get
sympathy,
it. I get
sympathy pledge, I'll take it, you know.
I don't mind, and you, and Hardy. So yes, anything is appreciated. But we love it, and we appreciate all the listeners. And all of you have different financial means for sure. And so that's what's so great about when you're all listening, you're all millionaires, you know. So hopefully from each according to his ability needs.
Yeah.
So don't feel bad if you're broke. You can listen all you want, and that's what those public stations make you feel guilty. You know, it's like you don't want poor people listening to.
Right.
So, and I can't think of any of the shows.
Yeah. If you don't have any money, it's okay. If you do, you know, honor system. If you do, give what you can. This is a pledge that came in earlier before tonight's show, but there's a comment here that I wanted to read to you. This is from Sean from Rehoboth. God, you know, I've been there, and I don't remember how to write. Rehoboth Beach.
I've only seen it on church signs.
Delaware. I've been there, and I don't remember how to pronounce it, so I apologize. But it's Sean, and he says, "Without a doubt, yours is both the funniest and most heartfelt / human show currently running. Keep on being a good human." So I wanted to read that comment to you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Nice for you.
I'm glad you pre-read it in case it said someone else's name at the bottom. That's happened before.
No, that was aimed
No, but that was for me, and I accept it.
Arrow aimed right at your nose.
That's a thing that I've learned that too, for it's to accept what the nice things that people say, you know?
Yeah.
To be, I don't think it's immodest to say, you know, thank you, I accept that, and I'm going to internalize that, because we get discouraged, you know, when we ever do anything. Like sometimes I'll do shows, you know, I think are great and I'll hear nothing, just crickets. I can't hear you listening.
Yeah,
right. But the thing is that what you have to do then is when people do say, I love that, it was meaningful, you can't make it perishable, temporary. You have to put that in the bank. You say that is good until they say otherwise. So I consider those things. When you say something nice to me, I don't think that expires in a week, or, oh, you made my day and tomorrow I'm going to be depressed again. I try to understand that if you've said that to me, you've given me a gift, I shall now keep that gift just like it was a little trinket or something. I'm going to revisit it when
well,
I need.
Well, and the shows are archived, of course, so someone can hear your show 2 years from now and it can completely change their life.
Right,
doesn't have
right.
to be on that day, right?
Exactly.
It's there forever.
So, there's a lot of message in the bottle kind of
yeah.
thing to it, and that's not a bad thing. I love that aspect of it in many ways. You know, if I was I'm not a live performer, and I performed live, but it's not my thing. I'm not very, you know, I've not sort of practiced it, trained. It's radio all the way. I've been doing that since I was very young, but not the performing. And the reason I prefer radio is because it's very difficult to have people watching you do a thing and react and have it not affect what you're saying or how you say it the next time.
Did it take you time to be able to speak sort of naturally in this environment where you're just talking to a blank wall or something like that? It took me a while to be able to speak normally, naturally,
years,
as if I'm speaking to people, which I am, but I'm just looking at a blank wall. I mean, it's a skill you have to.
No, it definitely is. It's also a skill that you have to really have this freedom to like make mistakes. And for me, it was college radio. So I was on college radio for like way longer than I was in college. You know, there's people from the community that won't go away.
Oh yeah, yeah. Right. I've known some of those. Yeah.
God bless us. So that was me. And then I started like, and they were by and large letting me do whatever I wanted, and that was so great. And I didn't know how valuable it was at the time, because it just allows you to sort of settle in. And to not worry about, like, am I going to say, and do I need to say something to get attention? And I think that's the kind of thing that gave us shock radio, that gave us this thing where we just have to keep notching it up to get attention. But if you're able to just practice your craft without that kind of pressure, oh, my goodness, you know? And I was basically allowed to stay, like, 10 years old playing with my cassette recorder. You know, I got one that maybe I was a little older than, I don't remember, like 10, 12. I got one of those portable cassette recorders,
yeah.
You know, and I could suddenly, and my grandfather got me some old timey radio tapes, you know, of old shows. And so I would listen to those and I would do my little skits into the radio and practice on the cassette and listen to myself back and that kind of stuff. And then to be able to do that in a broadcast is just
yeah
crazy.
It's like,
and I don't,
it's like magic.
I don't know, I don't know how good it is for everyone else, but for me, it's fantastic. I couldn't be more happy and satisfied. So I it's just this time of the year is so exciting for me because I get to say thank you, and I can be goofy and sincere and gush, and then I can gush about others and how amazing they are.
And your listener and your listeners are also saying thank you, and I have a few more to thank. May I do this? So we have Eve from Flushing who says, quote, hearing Miracle Nutrition was a complete accident for me nearly a year ago. It changed my creative life and made me a regular WFMU listener. Thank you, Hardy, for sharing your vision. That's Eve.
Oh, thank you, Eve. So much.
And we have Erin from Toronto, Canada, right across the border there. Thank you, Hardy, for your special brand of radio magic.
Thank you, Erin.
Hello,
I should let me give out the number and do all, take care of all that bureaucratic business. Phone number to call if you want to pledge to Hardy's show, which you should right now, is 1-800-989-9368. Call 1-800-989-9368. You can also pledge online. Go to our website, WFMU.org, and just click the big pledge button and help this radio station stay on the air for another year. Show your appreciation for the amazing, absolutely unique thing that Hardy White does here every week. What's your name? And earn your place in history.
That's right. Yeah, we're making history with radio the way it never was. So we're making it our thing, and that's every generation should do that. And take it and make it into something else. And it's so, I have a hard time not romanticizing broadcast radio. There's just something so physical about it. There's something that it's beaming, you know, these invisible waves into the atmosphere. And
live radio.
Yeah, live radio.
I always say, I should, it's not terrible, I guess, to admit this, but I listen to the FMU archives, which are an amazing, amazing wonder of the world, the WFMU archives, but I almost always listen live, and there's just a magic to that. Like, I'll look at my, you know, look at my watch, look at my phone and say, oh, Hardy's on in 10 minutes. And, you know, I could listen to you later tonight, tomorrow morning or something, but I want to hear you live. And like 90% of the time I listen to FMU, it's live, and that's just what I prefer. There's just something magical about it. I can listen to the archives. I do,
right?
But live is just different.
I agree with you. And one of the reasons is when I started, at least, I was on a very low watt station, and so when you're on a low watt station, you have a lot of people who are driving by your town. And so if they have the radio on and they're scanning, they might hear you, but they don't hear the whole show. And so I almost always like sort of had that in the back of my head that, you know, ideally maybe somebody's just hearing a snippet of it and going, what the heck? Like I wanted that feeling. And gosh, if that hasn't happened in like New Jersey and New York, where I'll hear from people and they go, I was driving through and I had you for a while. I didn't know what it was. And who's this crazy guy, and then I lost it again, and that's like the best. That's radio in your car.
And they heard 2 minutes of your show, and that 2 minutes was magical. You
know, right? They caught
a random piece, and that was, you know, just.
Well, sometimes it's better, you know. The mystery adds to it, and for radio, whenever there's that dimension of mystery, you know, like that, you know, Art Bell kind of thing, where he's, ooh, mysterious, kind of overnight, spooky UFO stuff, what's going on. And I love that, where the station's not coming in all the way. And that's a beautiful part of the...
Static.
The art, you know, the static is part of it, just the... You know, there's the people that love sort of analog things and records and tapes and everything. It's not that they're nostalgic necessarily. It's an aesthetic, and it is a wabi-sabi thing.
Yeah.
That sometimes there needs to be some imperfection, and that's the magic ingredient. And, you know, like film photography versus digital, they're both great, you know, but the film photography, if you want a dimension of lack of control or something that's a little off, that's going to give you that.
I have a film, very briefly, I have a film camera that I use that is completely cheap, crazy, unpredictable, and you never, there's flaws in almost every shot you take with this camera. And that's why when I use that camera, that's why I use it, because there's these completely random imperfections that there's no other way to get those things.
That's a surprise
to even the photographer, you know. Where the heck did that come from?
I just did that. I took a film camera out, and on top of that, I was like, I got some of that, you know, film that makes it look all messed up, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
expired film?
And the camera was really, like, new film made to look expired, kind of. You know, they've got these films that are skewed or look like old vintage film.
Yeah. So well, they sell, super, yeah.
It was Lomachrome.
They now sell, right, that's right. They now sell expired film where you have no idea what the heck is going to come out of this.
So I got this film, and then I shot it with my Canon, which I didn't know was so leaky, and it was like, it was great in a way. I didn't really, you know, it wasn't representational art.
Right.
But it was wonderful abstract art, some of it at least.
The camera's imposing its twisted view on the world, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. And I just love, like, we're that too, you know. We're those kind of, like, creaky machines that break, not these perfect sort of things. And that's the way I see the world. It's all tiled together and pieced and I think that's the art on this station reflects that a lot, you know. There's the diversity of the music, people's talking, different people's personalities, you know. They're different than what you hear on commercial radio for sure. And God, I mean, think of the difference between Clay and like a morning, like a, one of those corporate morning people that's like, that's not even local, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, where is this person even coming from?
Yeah, they all sound the same. There's this this really hilarious thing that Mark Hurst did on the Tectonic show here, where there's some AI bot that will generate an NPR like talk show. You know, male and female team talking, and it's completely it's first of all, it's really good. I mean, it sounds exactly like.
Oh, I know, I did a little.
But that's no compliment because it's just like
I did that and had them do like a Hardy White thing where I played it and I go, listen to this, and it was like, you know, today we're going to do a deep dive on Hardy White. Hey, that's a name I've heard of. Yeah, Hardy is a. they say your wiki page conversationally,
right?
You know,
right.
Or something, or some article that's been written about you. But the
tone of voice, the little expressions that they use, the way they go back and forth,
and basically
it's
all they did
chilling,
was like,
because you realize how they all sound the same.
They all sound the same, and what they did is they basically plagiarized a Bitter Southerner article about me.
Huh.
That, and that's what the most disgusting
and did,
part
and
was
did,
like.
And did it in the NPR voice.
Right, yeah. So they're taking a reporter's words, a real writer that did it, Rob Rushen, and then they're stealing it, right? Mm-hmm. And then they're saying, hey, today we're doing a deep dive. We're not going to credit anything we've... It's really creepy.
Yikes.
And I'm obviously sort of real.
You're pretty real. We have few more people to thank. I'm just going to go there again. We have
it's
John.
All about the thanking.
John from Washington, D.C. Thanks very much, John. We have Anna from Vail, Colorado.
All right.
And we have Lisa from Bastrop, Texas. And Lisa says, I started to listen to WFMU because of Hardy White.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love when I can, that feels up. That's a proud moment when it's your show that brings somebody to FM. Like, that's neat. I've had the opposite happen where I've inherited listeners, you know, longtime FMU listeners, and they go, oh, I'm going to give this new guy a whirl. But have it the other way around is like really, really great. So that's exciting. Thank you.
And also, this just in, Ralph from Fresh Meadows, New York. That's out in Queens there. And Ralph says, this is a group hug here. WFMU is the best reality on earth, is Ralph's comment. Thank you, Ralph.
Generous
donation.
Ralph is correct.
Yeah.
Ralph is correct. Oh, that's so lovely. What lovely people. It's heartening. You know?
It is, yeah.
Lots of examples of people that aren't their best, you know, or just straight up cruelty. And it's just to see people like showing off their kindness and their gratitude and their humor and their humanity is energizing for me, at least, you know. It's they're giving back. Like I said, every time you feed the station, you feed me. And it's the only place no one else is breaking down my door to get me to do stuff for them. This station took a chance on me, and I've taken that very seriously.
Well, I think there's nothing else. There's good for us. I mean, we win because there's nothing like you on the radio, I think.
Oh yeah,
I know.
I mean, it's one of those things where. we created me together.
That's
I'm
true.
I'm serious.
Yeah, yeah.
It is true.
That's true, like, of all of us to a degree. That's really a good point. Yeah.
It is true, and I'm like I'm grateful that to be in on that, but like I can't. It's definitely a group effort. I feed off of the listeners. I adjust. I change. I try to you know. So I'm not. It's not. It's different from pandering. It's more becoming a sort of vibing, right. You know, with the listeners and understanding what they dig and respond to and what they need, and fulfilling that need, and not in a cynical way, you know. It's like, this guy looks thirsty, we could sell him a drink, you know. No, it's not that. It's like, you look thirsty, do you want something to drink? And then we'll take it from there. Do you want a sticker or anything? And then we'll go, yeah. So we have those, if you like stickers and things. That reminds me. I got a premium.
Oh, well, let's hear about it.
So the premium is called Rockford Peaks and Other Delights. And what it is my, I think most of my Rockford Peaks episode, which was a mashup of Rockford Files and Twin Peaks. Mm-hmm. So basically it's, what if Rockford was Dale Cooper? And then there's my Quatermass in the Pit full episode, I think, mm-hmm. and various 70s commercial sort of pseudo-70s show. I don't want to call them parodies because I try to make them as much like the real thing as possible. So I don't know. I guess that's a parody. But
not a big joke, I guess, is what you're saying.
Yeah, they're not jokey, because I kind of don't like that. That's been done so much, mm-hmm. right? You know, making fun of the product. And we're so past that, right? Because we're not in the 70s. So it's like commenting on things. It's way beyond nostalgia. So it's more just like a recreating to create a sort of mood. And also to work, to treat like 70s, cop shows as a legitimate sort of genre or as sort of I like doing stories that are familiar the same way that opera or kabuki does. Mm-hmm. You know how kabuki theater hasn't had any new stories since the 1890s?
Right.
They've just got a canon, that's what they do. And Shakespeare's not, as far as I know, not writing anything new.
No.
So if you're a Shakespeare period, it's like, I know what's going to happen. And I love that kind of relationship to theater. And so sometimes and I love stock characters. So that attracts me to the Three Stooges, mm-hmm. or any of those shows where it's the same characters every week, just and doing variations on these stories.
Yeah.
And I'm probably over explaining myself, but there's a thought behind it. I don't know if it's a good thought, you know, I guess there's a thought behind everything, isn't there? And a lot of them are stupid, ill-conceived thoughts. But oh my gosh, it's fun for me because I get to you know, I get to make music without having to do anything with it or something. I get a musical idea, I can just get it out of me quickly. And that's fun too. So I enjoy not finishing things, as you know. And this has been a great opportunity to just not have to finish anything.
Work in progress.
Yeah, do we really need to finish things? Lots of things remain unfinished. Soap operas, and like, you don't have to.
Yeah,
you could just dangle. You get the gist, right?
Yeah. Well, like musicians, that's the way it is with musicians usually. You know, you're always tweaking. You know, you play, do live performances, and you may have mm-hmm. a set of songs, and you just tweak them over time. They're never exactly. Etched in stone, right? There's always little adjustments you're making, changes depending on how you're feeling and whatnot.
Yeah, I had the I had a bad band experience. I don't know if this has happened to you, where you've gotten hired for a gig that's completely inappropriate. Like, and you go, are you sure you want my band? You know, and like it was a wedding,
So my band got hired to do a wedding. And I was like, man, I don't think we're going to be good at that. Because we're not good at much else. Like, I don't know. We're not good when we're doing our stuff. I feel like it's not going to be to work out, really. And we ended up playing a polka for like a half an hour. Because we knew one polka, so we just thought, oh, God, we'll stretch it out, because people wanted to dance the polka. And we said, man, we know one, you know? And it was like that Blues Brothers thing where they do Rawhide or something. I was like, I live that. I was like, oh, this is a nightmare. Because somebody's, you know, weddings are easy to ruin. And I felt like, oh, I am in the ruining chair here. I am the chief wedding ruiner.
The thought of playing music or taking pictures at a wedding, neither of which I've ever done, just scares the absolute hell out of me.
Oh, I know.
Imagine, all I can think is imagine, you know, playing a song they don't like, or imagine, you know, getting a bad photo of grandma or something.
No, you're right.
I mean, people will kill you, I assume.
My neighbor is a wedding photographer, but she's also a rock climber. And I think that tracks, you know, because it's like,
right,
it's
on
very
the edge.
Much
yeah.
The same thing. It's like,
I could be dead in 10 minutes
crack
very
your
easily.
Skull open.
Right. I have a few more people to thank. Let's do it. We have Mike from Wharton, New Jersey.
Mike.
Thank you, Mike. Shemp Jive you, Mike. Hardy.
Shemp Jive. Yeah. I love that we have inside.
Yeah.
That's the best thing about radio. Gosh, that's when I feel like Gene Shepard.
Well, that's how you know that they're
I feel like people are saying, Excelsior, you fathead, to me. And it's just like, God, I've arrived.
We have Kate from Conway, Arkansas. Thank you for keeping us company on our road trip, Hardy, she says.
Thank you.
Miraculously nourished.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love being the voice of road trips.
We have that David from Bristol, Vermont, says, Hardy White is a wonderful companion.
Thank you, David.
I agree.
Got lots of listeners up there in Vermont. A lot in Burlington.
Mm-hmm. I love Burlington.
Hey, Burlington, come on. Let's hear from you.
We have Rich from Wading River, New York. Says Miracle Nutrition is maybe the most unique yet quintessentially WFMU program on the calendar. And he says that Hardy and Dave know a thing or two about playing the bass.
Hmm. Ooh.
A bass comment, I'll take
that's
that.
That's a bass comment. Should we, after our thanks, we'll have to segue to bass nerd out on bass talk.
Anytime.
Bass.
We have Matthew from Springfield, Virginia says, bless you, Hardy.
Thank you, Matthew.
And we have a family. I can't give the last name. The P family, letter P. I don't want to give the family name. From Olive Bridge, New York. Another Shemp Jive pledge.
Shemp Jive, y'all, thank you.
Thank you to that unnamed family. I don't want to, no last names here. It's not.
They know who they are.
And Paul from New York City checks
in
as well. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
1-800-989-9368 if you want to call in a pledge and show your love, show your appreciation for this show, Miracle Nutrition, and what Hardy White does, what Hardy White brings you every week, and also help this station, WFMU, keep going for another year. You are what you're the fuel that keeps the engine here running, you, listener. And you can also pledge on the web, WFMU.org. And do that now. Show your love for this program and this radio station. We have about another 14 minutes.
Oh, so you
plenty
know,
of room for you, callers.
So the bass. So when we're roughly age cohorts.
Contemporaries,
probably.
Yeah.
Contemporaries. Yeah. So when we were young, playing the bass was not like a glamorous thing.
Nope.
It's so crazy to go on YouTube and see. Like bass mania, basically. It's very strange to me.
Yeah, I like a lot of things about the bass. One of those things is you stand in the back of the stage and no one looks at you or cares what you're doing. You know, that's kind of nice.
For me. I kind of wanted people to watch me when I first started. I was like, watch all this stuff I'm doing. But then, I was like, man, I'd probably be better at it if I stood back here.
I've known a lot of bass players who switch to guitars and to guitar, and there's probably many reasons for that. But I think one reason is you know, I want to stand in the front of the stage, man. I want to be in
the
front.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to, you know, I want to make, faces and, you know, play solos.
I don't want to offend anybody, but there's a thing about, so the bass is really good. It's an instrument that's meant to be played in a combo, right? You're doing literally the bass part,
it's an accompanying instrument.
It's an accompanying instrument, exactly. And I think what the problem is, and this is for bass players and guitar players, people want to play like everything. They want to play an orchestrated, they want to play in the range of the bass, they want to play in the range of the guitar on like one instrument. And you'll see like bass players with 1,000 strings playing on the 15th fret or something, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, if you have a guitar player, you don't have to do that. They can do those notes.
Pedals. I see bass players now with like 15 effects pedals.
Yeah.
Like that's just as it doesn't. That's a guitarist thing, you know.
It's you're stepping into their territory there, which is fine. I mean, I used to love. Bootsy was one of my favorite.
Mm.
Right? I mean, and his tone is like completely. You know, he's got like a envelope filter on it going right and like you know, fuzz and everything.
Exactly. Right.
That's my envelope.
That's good.
So I do like that. I'm not like a purist or anything, but it is strange to me. I guess is what. Because I love just hanging. I love like just doing my part too. And that was something as I got older, I was more understood more, and felt better about like doing your part and having the part fit in, than doing everything or there's virtue. There's just so many virtuosos.
Yeah.
You know, which is cool and great. You know, but it also is. We don't need that many. Probably, you know, I don't know.
Yep.
I mean, we're drowning in virtuosos.
We have Andrea, let's go with Andrea from Beacon, New York, who says, Hardy, my 18-year-old daughter loves your inspirational anecdotes and outlook on life. We listen every week.
Oh, I love when families listen.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I never mentioned mine, but you know, I have a family, and it's like when you can do stuff with your kids or have, it's a wonderful thing, you know, and have especially something like radio where you can use your imaginations, and also just to turn your kids on to like different ways of thinking and possibilities and you know you sometimes think they'll find their way to these ideas that I found my way to as a young person, but that is not true. You know, a lot of times you have to guide people there. They won't bump into them. They might be distracted by all this other stuff. And if you can introduce a person, especially a young artist, to these possibilities that they don't even know exist, that's just such a blessing. And any time that I hear like somebody young is digging the show or something, I get very excited. And you know, because I want there to be lots of shows like this in the future. Once I'm gone, though, I would like to hog the spotlight a little bit.
Don't go yet. Yeah.
Yeah. When I'm gone, then you can all do the your version.
A few more people to thank. And in fact, we just got a pledge from Burlington. So I think said the magic word there. So we have Chris from Burlington, Vermont says, Hardy White is an absolute treasure.
Hey, Chris.
Agreed.
Love your town.
We have Rick from Fairlawn, New Jersey. I love Hardy's show, says Rick.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick.
And we have Mark from Orem, Utah. Bless you, Hardy. Lots of gratitude that you keep doing what you do on WFMU.
Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
I know and love Mark.
Lots of calls coming in now, all of a sudden. We like that.
Yes, we do like that. I love the phone. Do people know the phone is the printer? I'm not supposed to say that.
No, you can say that. Well, there's a couple. Oh. There are real phones here. There are actual phones here. If you call the number, right. You'll get it's a real phone call.
No, it's a real phone call.
But people pledging. No, but you're right, because people who pledge on the web, when those pledges come in, we have a phone ringing sound.
Yeah, so
we can make it. Say that. So it sounds like It's a phone call. It's actually
because I used
call.
To like to make. Remember, like on Jerry Lewis or something, your local telethon. Yeah. You'd like you could make the. You wanted to see the phone ring,
right.
And then pick it up.
Yeah.
And you can kind of do that here
because
we're you know so call a lot. Also, you can your message doesn't have to be pray. You could say, "Hey, Hardy, do this, and I'll give you $10." I mean, something within reason, you know, like a voice.
Careful,
or something.
Careful what you wish for, there, Hardy.
No, nothing like Ken level. I'm not gonna put honey and feathers on me or something.
Tattoo on your face.
God, yeah, those guys. My gosh, I'm trying to think what crazy thing would I be willing to do? I don't know. Maybe like I'd eat a hot dog without any condiments.
Whoa,
that's kind of dry, right? I mean, that's risky.
Yeah. See, I'm a vegetarian. That would be a major. That would be a real, you know, major concession for me.
Well, they have fake. I mean, they have
well,
stuff.
Well, fake hot dog. Yeah, yeah.
Fake as fake can be.
Tofu dog. Yeah.
Those are kind of.
I kind of like them, but that's just.
I don't mind them. I don't mind tofu dogs. I'd eat a tofu dog with some kind of I don't know maybe some kind of exotic relish.
Mm.
Right? I don't know. And a really hot chutney.
Oh.
Mm. I would never go on one of those eat hot stuff shows. God, that seems awful. You know the wing one? Would you do that?
No.
That's messed up, isn't
I used to work with people who were into, you'd go to Indian restaurants and they would ask for like level 98 of spiciness.
Right,
and it was, and I couldn't. I mean, I'm not a wimp, but I'm like a medium,
you know what,
medium
I would
guy,
do,
medium spicy guy.
Every I would go on if I could. Instead of eating a wing, every time they ate a wing, I'd put an ice cube in my underwear, because that's super uncomfortable. I think that's pretty horrible. And hand them out, I think, to burn in your mouth. So I don't know if that's a show, Cold Ones, it would be called, I guess. And I'm just putting that out there. I guess it's a free idea.
Well, let's think about that. Yeah, we can work.
There's a lot of show business people that listen and steal ideas from FMU all the time. We know that because the Severance, I think, is just based on the station.
Yeah.
It feels to me. I don't know.
Clearly,
right? It feels like that. Yeah.
We have a couple more people to thank. Sorry, I'm going to just gonna,
let's thank
cut
them.
In because
I mean,
we want
to
make sure we
thing.
Say. Leslie from Hollywood, Florida. Has
oh,
checked
Leslie
thank
from
you,
Hollywood.
Leslie. And Denise from Summit, New Jersey.
Thank
who
you, Denise.
Asked, is there a Hardy for Life tier? Not really. There's a Swag for Life tier.
Right.
Pledging. Or not tier, but you can
right.
you can pledge, make a monthly pledge in your
right,
bank,
and then you can put Hardy in parentheses or something.
Yeah, you can put Hardy in
parentheses. You can make it a Hardy. You can cross it out.
Yes.
And write in that.
You
write
can,
in
you,
my name.
You can do that, yeah.
Yeah.
So thanks, Denise. We have just a few minutes left, I think. Let me check.
Oh, it's, we do. We have 5 minutes left. That's very exciting.
So let's...
Well, I think we're pretty much out of stuff to talk about, so I'm just going to, I thought we just...
That seems really unlikely, Hardy.
We could, no, of course it's unlikely. Oh my gosh, I wonder sometimes how long I could talk for. I don't know if anybody wants to find out, and I know there's been records, right? Didn't?
Well, there's got to be some Guinness thing.
Well,
Glenn Jones at one
Glenn
point
Jones
set the,
did,
set the
right,
record, but that
point.
Wasn't that wasn't talking. That was just doing a radio show.
Or
it was like
I wonder how
70
long you could,
hours.
I think
or
the people
that
talked straight have health problems. I think you go into like you start to hallucinate or something. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, that's got to be tough. Yeah, I wouldn't. I would choose a different record probably to break.
I think your spit would get very very kind of syrupy. I think after a while.
Yeah,
I don't know how you'd stay. And I wonder how many were like what counts as continually talking? Because I take very long dramatic pauses sometimes. And I think if I was going for a record, I might want to pause for a minute and a half.
You know, there's all kinds of guidelines for these things. Like, you know, I don't know how someone comes up with these rules. Like, okay, if you're going to try to set the record for the longest continuous talking, you're allowed to stop for 4 minutes. They just come up with these sort of arbitrary guidelines, so you'd have to check on that. But I probably a pregnant pause is okay, is allowed if you're going for that.
The best
record.
Thing is to do one of those inadvertent world records where you're not going for it, You're just like, you know, it's like, this person didn't change their light bulb for 80 years or something. Right. It's like, oh, hey, hey, go, yay me. But you don't have to, like, you know.
I haven't tied my shoelaces for, you know, 11 months or something.
Yeah. It's like, sir, I noticed your fingernails. Oh, thank you. Have you ever clipped them? No. You know, and that kind of thing. I'm, but like, if you were doing it on purpose.
I'm a half inch away from the world's record. Don't bother me.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I chipped a nail. No, I'm not. I don't have any physical records. I think I could. I'm not, probably right now. I will tell you. I feel like. I was gonna say I feel like Lou Gehrig, but only in that I feel like the luckiest man in the world.
Oh.
I really, really do. Not the bad part. But
yeah.
The,
well, right.
The lucky part.
Yeah.
He doesn't. Yeah. It's a shame that because what a wonderful quote.
Yeah.
Because the context is so. But so I do feel like, so God, you bless me so much. It's so wonderful to be, and Dave, it's so fun to talk to you.
Well, thanks.
And,
same. It's an honor.
Yeah, man. And when I'm up there, we'll hang and we'll nerd out and
we'll come up. Yeah, come up.
Nice talk.
Come visit us soon.
I've been there. This is my first year in 13 years or something. I haven't.
Yeah.
Been, so.
It's fine. Well, it's just like the way I experience your show every week, actually.
From a distance, like the song says.
Right.
Oh, it is. It's like prayer almost. Well, we are really near in the end of the hour. Like we're like station ID end of the hour.
Just about. Well, just enough time for me to. Well, a
little. Some more thanks.
Time for one or two more thanks. We have Dave from Baltimore, Maryland.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave. And there's another pledge coming in here any second now. But yeah, you have maybe a minute or two.
All right. Well, we don't want to.
A minute.
We got a minute, but like if it's a thank you, if we got one pledge coming in, and this could put us over. I don't know what our over is. I don't think we. Can we just say it puts us over? Whatever it is, let's say.
Over. We're totally over. This is from Zach and Ann. We love you, Hardy. We appreciate your creativity. This pledge is so fresh. The city and state haven't even been filled in yet. But
thank
we'll
you, Zach and
Ann.
From
somewhere. Yeah, we're over. We made it.
Oh, overdrive the mic with the yelling. Pin the needle. So that was great. We are now, we have reached our.
We reached
whatever.
The goal. Yeah, we made it.
Now we need
we did
twice
it.
As much.
I like that.
Man,
no matter
it's
what.
It's been great, Dave. Do you want to do the.
You can
letters.
Do it.
You do it.
I'll do it. Okay.
Could you do it?
I can do it. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU in Mount Hope, in New York City, in Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. Thanks, Hardy.
All right.
A pleasure.
Thanks. I'll see you again next week.
Yeah.
And I guess somebody hit some, they're going to hit some nice music.
I think so. See ya.
And then I'm going to transition smoothly.
Twins' name was Ebony. Her name was Mahogany. Twins' name was Ebony. Her name was Mahogany. Twins' name was Ebony.